I hop in a clap, flip it round. Now bring it on back, break it down. Now switch.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's the name of that song, Dino?
It's Switch from Will Smith.
I like it. Switch, how apropos. We gotta like that as well. All right, it's time for the roundtable. We have got Andrew Gribble in studio. We've got KJ on the phone. KJ, what are you doing, brother?
I'm live in downtown Cleveland, man. I worked hard last week, worked really late hours, so I got a little bit of a day off here. But listen, I'm watching Raiders film. I'm about to post a film breakdown on Armani Bryant. There's still work being done, but it's just from a different location.
And what did you see about Armani Bryant?
He's using his length. He really can burst past these guys. He used this move called the coffee house, which he kind of stuttered back, dipped his shoulder. So he looks like a natural outside linebacker out there. Him, he's impressing me. The best player on defense to me, though, Nathan, has been Tremont Williams to start the year. If you run to his side, that running back is going to get leveled. He's been top-notch in coverage. So a couple of new Browns emerging, but I'll be posting that article on Armani right after this segment.
Beautiful. And Tremont Williams had a great tackle on a screenplay that he basically blew up himself. I thought he played very well also. All right, let's start with the obvious here. And, Gribbs, I'll start with you. Quarterback, your thoughts.
Good now? All right.
Yeah, there he is, the Gribbs.
You know, it's certainly a tricky decision, and it's, as I was telling someone, this is one of the better quarterback decisions the Browns have had to make in recent years. You're not Fair. Making it because the starter is underperforming. You've got someone rising to the occasion and making it an interesting discussion. I think I can see both ends, but the Manziel, up to that last throw, I was thinking Josh McCown's starting this next game. But that last throw, just the kind of the killer instinct, the way to put the Titans out of their misery without having to kind of cling on to that victory to make the big play on third down. That was the Johnny Manziel I saw at Texas A&M, and that's kind of the playing within the scheme of the offense. He wasn't, if that throw doesn't hit Benjamin, it's going incomplete. You live to punt, and even if they do intercept it, it's like an arm punt. So I mean, I think, you know, I understand where the Manziel people are coming from, which it seems like, from basically the what I listen to on radio and see on the internet, the Manziel voices are strong right now. But I also think what I saw Josh McCown in the preseason, very good. What I saw out of Josh McCown up until the fumble against the Jets, very good, very solid with what they want to do in the offense. So the guy's done nothing to lose the job. I'm truly at a point where I don't know what decision is going to come out tomorrow.
When you think about the fact, and I talked about it earlier, I don't know if you're listening at the beginning of the show, Alex Smith had taken the 49ers to the NFC Championship game. And then the week when he got hurt, the week before, he went 18 of 19 for 232 yards and three touchdowns in a Monday night blowout of the Arizona Cardinals. But they deemed Cap was ready. He went in there, got the opportunity, and the rest is history. He went to the Super Bowl, NFC Championship the year later. Now, maybe you could say Colin Kaepernick's not what you want right today. But at that time, they made that kind of a switch because I think they thought they could win now, and it was also in the best interest of their organization. All right, KJ, what do you think should happen at quarterback?
I am so proud, first of all, of Johnny Manziel, and I think Pettin said it best. We did not think we were going to be having this conversation this year. I mean, he played himself into this conversation. I don't want to call him a one-trick pony right now, but his trick of throwing the ball down the field, I mean, you can win in the league this way. Especially at home, you get the defense amped up. The fans are so into him. Like, he changes the game at home. The crowd noise was completely different on Sunday, and Johnny had a huge reason to do with that. I think he's starting this week. If you're going to do the hot-handed running back, why can't you do it at quarterback? Let Johnny play. What if he wins the game? Let him go to San Diego. Let's ride this out. If he starts to struggle a little bit, I think he's matured enough to know that, hey, McCown is a good quarterback too. This team needs to see what Johnny has. We all didn't think the circumstances were going to happen, but this is the NFL. The league comes at you quickly. You got to make decisions that are best for the team. I really think this is best for the Cleveland Browns, for Johnny to start at home. You know, that was a pressure situation last week going up against Marcus Mariota. That could have been a bad look for Johnny to do horrible last week against Marcus Mariota. Gribble and I were worried at the start of the week, but he really proved some things to me. I start Johnny this week. I don't make it a firm decision that he starts the rest of the year, though.
So you would start Johnny this week. You would start Johnny this week, although you could see it both ways. I would start Johnny. Dino would start Johnny. And I think that Mike Pettine, the win with the ultimate power, is probably going to start Josh McCown, but that's okay. I think organizationally, as I've said many times, the right decision is to go with Johnny.
And I do think when you do, if it's not this week, when you do go with Johnny, if it's later in the season, if it's at all, and Josh McCown is still here, they've got a great relationship to make this kind of work way better than it did last year. And I think
agreed.
I think that would happen even if that happened this week.
I would say this though, if it happens at all. If Johnny Manziel starts only this game against Tennessee Titans before this season is over and the Browns do not go to the playoffs, people should be rioting in the streets.
Right. I would think he's going to start a game this year, you know, if Josh stays healthy and only if they're not in the play. Not in the playoffs.
I've heard some people say, just start Josh because you know he's going to get hurt again and then Johnny will get his chances then. No. If you're going with Johnny, you're going with Johnny. That's what I think there. All right. Got a question from P. Myers Golf. We got one for you, KJ, and then one for the group. For you, KJ. He wants a Montez Renault update from you. Are guys in the locker room using it? Are you using it? What is happening?
Oh, the face wash is unbelievable. Chris Kirksey used it in Joe Thomas' segment on Inside the Cleveland Browns the other day. It's really taken off. And Carlos,
using it?
Yeah, I use the face wash a lot.
I noticed. You look good.
Yeah, no. I mean, last year I had some acne. It was year one in the NFL. I had a couple pimples on my face. Guess what? I use Montez Renault. Everything's working now. So Carlos Dansby really coming through there. He's pumping the brakes, though, during the season. He's focusing. And like P. Myers Golf said, this guy played with an injured foot last week, Dansby. And, I mean, there's no drop-off from a 33-year-old player. It's kind of unbelievable how good he still is.
I caught up with Dansby in the locker room after the game. He was still, an hour after the game, locked in, razor-focused. And he's playing, you know, well above what he should be at his age. I mean, him and Tremont Williams both on defense are bringing it and showing that you can still play in this league at 30-plus.
I want to ask you guys about one guy that I know all three of us liked, or all four of us, even Dino, liked in the preseason, E.J. Bibbs. He's been inactive for the first two games. You're not even really playing Housler. So do you think at some point, do you see Bibbs to kind of be that pass-catching option at tight end? Because we really haven't seen those guys really become part of the game plan in a major way yet.
I see those tight ends being more part of a game plan with McCown at quarterback. Maybe that's why we saw a drop-off with Housler at this past game, I think, on snap count.
Six snaps.
But you wonder if you see him getting better on the practice field. But we saw it in the preseason. This guy's got some ability. I wouldn't be surprised if we get to a game day with all four of these guys active, or maybe potentially in house or spot. But you look at those snap counts. Dre and Barnage aren't going anywhere. I think Dre had the most snaps of all the tight ends this week.
Give me Bibbs or give me death. This guy should be in the game. We need playmakers right now.
Stay alive, KJ. You're looking good with your Montez Renault. Don't say things like that.
No, I mean, I'm not. I just want more playmakers on the field.
I agree.
I mean, and nothing against Jim and Gary, but I think there is a ceiling to both of their skill sets, and they're both admit that at tight end. We don't know what E.J. Bibbs could be. He could be a 5-catch-a-week, 60-yards guy, you know, creating matchup problems on the outside. You can do little screen passes to him. He can make people miss. I think this offense needs that, especially if you have Johnny in there. You have another little security blanket at the line of scrimmage. You can dump something off to E.J. Bibbs, so I want to see him. I want to see more deep passes down the field, too. I mean, we only really saw two last week. They went for touchdowns. We saw one in New York go for a touchdown. I think that'll help the running game. So I think there's a couple little kinks being worked out in the passing game. But, I mean, I'm impressed right now. The Browns are 1-1 with a good chance to be 2-1 going in against a good Raiders team. So this fan base, you can tell, is buzzing right now.
Question for you, Nathan. Do you think E.J. Bibbs' spot is being – where he'd be used as being occupied by Malcolm Johnson right now, or do you think it's the Housler spot? Because we saw, you know, with Johnson out most of the preseason, we saw Bibbs mostly in that backfield role. And, you know, I've looked at Malcolm Johnson's snap counts from week one, week two. He played a little bit more, but still not getting on the field all that much.
I think it would be the Housler spot. I mean, honestly, if you're going to really nail me down on it, if you're going to play Cam Irving at tight end as we do, I would rather have Housler, Bibbs, and Barnage up and just go with Cam Irving if whenever you want to really make the case that you're going to run the football as opposed to having Dre up.
Are we going to see Irving pull a Jake Fisher from what you saw this week at Cincinnati? He's looking athletic in the open field.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to quite see that from him. I do want to see more from him, though. When he's out there, I really feel like we should dominate the edge, and that hasn't been the case yet.
Some of the better plays of this season so far have happened with that situation out there. Was he out there for one of the Benjamin throws or not? I'm trying to remember.
He was out there for the game winner.
Yeah.
They brought seven. We had six offensive linemen and a running back, and we didn't number up correctly. And Arakpo had a free run off the side where we were unbalanced. Right. And Johnny Manziel made a good play. There might have been a hold there on that play if you watched that.
Yeah, there was definitely
Cam
a
Irving.
Hold. I'm glad Cam Irving.
It wasn't called.
It wasn't called. I'm glad Cam Irving's getting on the field. I think you're seeing Pep's creativity, though, being brought to the offensive side. They're going to get different people involved more. A player I'd like to see more involved, speaking of the deep passing, is Taylor Gabriel. I think that he teamed up with Johnny could be as lethal as Travis Benjamin. So you get a different quarterback in here. We'll see if Johnny plays. But if he does, I'd like to see more deep patterns with Taylor Gabriel. I think you send him and Benjamin deep a lot, that's going to open up things underneath for Duke Johnson to do work in the screen game. So I think with Johnny, you present a lot more mismatching problems down the field.
Speaking of Travis Benjamin, KJ, I'm sure you'd agree he's making it look as easy as practice out there. But what a start from him. Is anybody in the NFL off to a better start?
I'm eating words on him. I think
that was subtle. You didn't need to draw attention to that. That was very subtle. That was only for the hardcore Browns Daily.
He was in trouble. But I cannot believe the start of the season. He's the story so far. He really is.
It was back to the preseason, too.
Yeah. It was all since training camp started, he's been the best receiver on this team.
Yeah, most consistent. And it's been different with quarterbacks.
Someone had to grab the torch, Nathan. Someone had to grab the torch as the best receiver. Let's hope he continues to carry it because I think that he has the elite speed to be. I saw you posted on Twitter, Nathan, a DeSean Jackson type.
Yeah.
Not exactly DeSean Jackson.
He's got to work on his route tree, but yeah, he's got that. And I think you're going to see teams start to put a safety shaded his way, and I think that will hopefully open things up for other people on this team. I want to ask both of you, what needs to improve? Because when you win, it's easy to say, oh, everything's perfect. There are still things that need to improve. What do you guys highlight? I'll start with you, Gribbs. What needs to improve going forward to continue winning?
Well, I think this one's easy, man. It's the run defense. It's just been you're back to number 32 in the league in rush defense. I know the Titans got maybe what you consider a lot of cheap yards. I think the Browns were kind of preventing the big play there. And I think it helped that it took the Titans about 7 minutes to score their second touchdown that made it kind of a make-or-break drive there late in the game. But still, you can't let Dexter McCluster have that much room to run on the outside.
You know, it was the career high for him by 37 yards.
Right. I mean, that's not really even how he's used. I mean,
no.
He's kind of just a change-of-pace kind of guy.
To that point, Bishop Sankey had a career high the week before. So Mariota's opening up their running game, but I agree with you here.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously some kind of issue going on the outside because, as you've said earlier, and as I saw in KJ's breakdown, I mean, Danny Shelton is doing his job in the middle.
Yeah,
it's making the interior run defense much better than it was last year. But it seems like where the Browns have gotten better in the middle, it's maybe potentially gotten worse on the outside. And that's got to be fixed soon because I know the Raiders really haven't been running the ball all that well. But going forward on this schedule, you've got some teams that can run the ball and really kind of take over a game that way.
Yeah. KJ?
I want to challenge Shante Widner to really bring it next week against the Raiders. You got two pretty young receivers, Crabtree, and then the rookie Amari Cooper. Let's not let big plays happen. I mean, those guys can potentially make some big plays. I'd like to see Dante Widner force a turnover this week, make a couple big hits, be the enforcer in the middle of the field. I mean, if not, you had Jordan Poyer make an interception at a key moment last week. You have some depth at the safety there. Ibrahim Campbell wasn't active. He might be active again this week, so I want to challenge the safety play. I'd like to see Crow hit a big one. Duke hit a big one. Let's hit a big run. Big plays. This works in the NFL. Last year when the Browns were good, Brian Hoyer was throwing deep to Jordan Cameron all the time. I'd like to see more big plays on offense and Dante Widner on defense. By the way, special teams. We might have one of the best special teams in the league. They can continue doing what they're doing.
The way that Andy Lee hits the ball.
Magician.
It's majestic, though. Just sitting down there and watching, like, you hear guys on the sidelines talk. I've never heard guys on the sidelines. These are grown men, defensive linemen, et cetera, marveling at the punt of Andy Lee.
To that point, though, I think another thing to work on going forward, I think there's still been too many three and outs on offense.
Yep.
You can't keep relying on Andy Lee to kick 60 to 65-yard punts. Even though he's going to do it more often than he doesn't, you want to put him in situations where he's going to be able to kind of you break out the pitch and wedge and kind of get some backspin on some punts and really pin a team back and get the defense in some good shape.
I agree, and you can't rely on that. And my point was, receivers not named Travis Benjamin need to step up.
Right.
I mean, Brian Hartline, no catches in week two. Dwayne Bowe, no catches in week two. Gabriel, not involved. It was Hawkins really had three of them. Benjamin had three. I think one to Barnage and maybe one to one of the backs, and that was it in the game for the Browns.
That play to Barnage, by the way, was Mike Pettine's favorite of all the Johnny Manziel plays because of the way he read that defense and got it out quick, and that was a great play.
Well, and it was a play that was created solely by the pre-snap movement, and Tennessee was completely confused, and Johnny recognized it right away and hit the quick out that they ended up getting 17 yards on like a two-yard out to Gary Barnage.
Yeah, so, just a momentum play, and then you run it in 11 yards, you score right there.
The next play, hood down, Browns.
I mean, speaking of momentum, I just think Johnny has it this week. I think the torch with the Johnny momentum is strong. I think the Raiders would rather face McCown than Johnny. I think Johnny just presents more problems. The more experience he's getting, he's showing good. So we'll see what the decision is. Pett's really going to be wringing his hands over this one. I don't think you can go wrong, but to me, the Johnny momentum is strong right now.
All right, get him at ClevelandBrowns.com, the Browns mobile app on Twitter, at Mr_KevinJones, at Andrew_Gribble. Tremendous stuff right now, cranking out the content on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. Also, we got to thank my man Dave DiNatale filling in for Matt Wilhelm today.
It was a pleasure, my friend.
Dino, it was a blast. Certainly thoroughly enjoyed it. All right, folks, stay tuned for the Golden Boys. That'll do it for us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hopefully we'll have the quarterback decision for you tomorrow.
Preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.